I don't know. Somebody want to date that for me? Is it late 80s, early 90s? 20 years? Yeah, it's been a long time. And so I've watched that, I'm going to guess, I don't know, 25, 30 times. I love it. But it's cool because, you know, it's got Kevin Costner, James Earl Jones, Darth Vader. It's got baseball. It's got beautiful moments with family, you know, dad and the son playing the catch. And then it's got the best thing of all, really. It's got magic cornfields, right? So, like, I think you could add magic cornfields to any movie, and it would, like, take it up a couple notches. Incidentally, though, I like the idea of magic cornfields, but cornfields are scary to me because I went into a cornfield as a kid, and not very far because my mom would never let me out of her sight for more than like 2 minutes. But in that like 120 seconds, I got loose and I like ran into a cornfield and took probably like 6 feet in, and I was like in another planet. So I started to freak out and panic, and that was like the last time. But they're good for movies. They're good for movies. Now I cry like every time that I see that movie. But the older I get, I appreciate how like amazing it is, and it means a little bit more to me because, you know, I like the idea of people coming back from the other side, and please save your theology. I know it's just a movie, okay, so calm down. But the idea of people coming back to the other side and kind of righting wrongs and saying what they wish they would have said, I love that kind of premise of that. I think that's really cool. But as I was watching a few years ago, it's probably been about 10 years ago, about, I don't want to guess, about 16th time through, something else kind of caught my attention. It was that scene that I placed on there in the video that we watched. And if you notice, as the father and son were playing catch, that the car started to line up. And there's this big moment, and we played some clips of it, where James Earl Jones' character, he gives a speech of sorts when you got, like, I think it was the brother-in-law who was telling Ray, Kevin Costner's character, hey, they're going to shut this place down. You don't have enough money. You're going to lose the farm. And James Earl Jones start to say, wait, people are going to come. They're going to come. They're going to turn down your driveway for no apparent reason. And they're going to come, and we're going to say, hey, you can take a look around. And we'll say it's only $20, and they'll gladly give their money. And I love that. But I love how at the end, how through the times of trouble, everything's bad, and you got the brother-in-law. Everybody's got I don't have a brother-in-law. But you ever got the equivalent of a nasty brother-in-law who's like always there to tell you like how bad of an idea all your ideas are, or how everything that you set out to do in life is not going to work out for you? And so that's what happened in that movie. And then at the end, of course, we all know it works out beautifully. I was begging for a sequel. I'm still waiting. It's been like 25 years. So hopefully before Kevin Costner passes to the other side, that he will make a sequel, because I think it's a fantastic movie. But I do have, let me just get situated. Those aren't that impressive. What about now? Yeah. I'm not gonna wear them through, because I'll probably have like a seizure up here with this, because this is like, okay. So I'm gonna slow it down a little bit. Or I can just do this. So it's okay to be jealous. Just pray about it, because I think it's one of the commandments. Thou shalt not covet your pastor's fancy glasses. But I think it's like the 11th commandment. But anyway, we want to take a look at some crazy stuff this morning. I'll get these back out here in a minute. But I thought about how, again, these lines of people were coming in, and I just in my heart, my spirit, my soul, whatever you want to call it, I really felt like that baseball diamond kind of right before my eyes. If you remember the clip we just watched, that baseball diamond, like instead of a baseball diamond, it became a church. And I could just feel like that was God's call on this church. And this is a long time ago. But I felt like there'll come a day where there will be people lined up as far as you could see, trying to come and get inside the church. And you tie it back to that whole, if you build it, he will come. If you build it, he will come. And we all say, well, that's you know, I love to take movies and try to figure out a way to apply them to the Bible or the gospel or the kingdom. And this idea that if we build this church, then God will show up. And we know that, as the slide said, or the words in that movie, that if he be lifted up, he'll draw men into himself. But here in the last few years, instead of like picturing the building of the church, because while we've gotten, that's our church property, just around the corner up here on Old 32, we've got 9 acres that are ready to build. And thanks to Jamie, they're not a forest of 9 acres, but we have all that, and we have the plans and the idea to build one day a bigger church. But it's not the building that I think that people are going to be attracted to. It's not the building that people are going to line up for. It's the community. It's the community of faith. It's a community of saints. It's all of you, the family that we build together. That's what's going to be attractive. That's going to be attractive to the outside world. Because it's this weird dynamic how, like, church people, like Christian, like church people, they love having a big fancy church. Like, we've watched it through the years when, like, there'll be a big church built within 15, 20, 30 miles, and, like, 100 people will just, like, pack up and move out of their church and go to the new one just because it's new, just because it's a new fancy building. And it's this weird thing, and, like, people who are in church are like, well, we're not really impressed because we've been to Disney World, so, like, your big church doesn't impress us, or we've been to Target, so great, you have a church, awesome. It has water fountains and bathrooms, so does Walmart, we get it. So this idea of that building these big fancy churches, and we're thankful that we have a nice building here, but building these big churches are like all of a sudden like people from all over are just gonna pack in. That's not really the case. But what people are drawn to is something real and something authentic. And if they can find, because it's a tough world out there, isn't it? Like, people are just mean and nasty and that's just in your house, you know. But outside, no, just kidding. But people, you know, it's tough out there. And if we can somehow build a community of faith and family and friends here that looks like treating people like Jesus treated people, I think that's attractive. I think people are like, I think I'd like to get some of that. And I don't know how I feel about this God and Jesus thing just yet. Well, it's fine. We're on a journey together. Let's go together. But let's just hang out and treat each other well. I just think that there's room in people's lives for that kind of activity. So in my mind, this vision that we have, overall vision, is not, my job is not to try to build a big church. Like, that's not my goal. Like, we'll know that we win when there's another church, whether it's an extension on this one, or one day we'll build another facility, and I think we will build another facility uptown. But in my mind, if we do that, it'll be like a second campus. And I'll talk more about that in a second. Like, there'll be two bridges operating at the same time on Sunday mornings, and Wednesdays for that matter. But not necessarily like we're going to pack up like we're like hermit crabs, right? We're just going to leave this one behind and move up there. And so it's just to get a bigger shell. I think that the act of multiplying is found in the New Testament would be that we would leave this here full of people, full of Christians, full of people who love each other and love Jesus. And then we go do it again and again and again and again. And so our mission here at The Bridge is that we would connect others to God through a belief and relationship in Jesus Christ. That's our mission. And the way that we'll do that is to embrace those outside the church. What that means is if you're not familiar with church, maybe it's your first time to the church ever, or first time in 10 years, or you come for like Christmas, Easter, weddings, funerals, but other than that, you're like, I'm good, I don't need that. That we want to create an environment that's welcoming for you. And we also want to create an environment that feels safe. So if you are a Christian, or if you have decided to trust Jesus with your salvation, that you find that this place is a safe place to grow, a safe place to admit that you're not perfect. I should have got at least one amen there. And that it's a safe place to pretend like you don't know where Habakkuk is in the Bible, right? Without cheating on the table of contents. Like, it's perfectly okay. It's perfectly okay. So my job is not so much to build a building as much as to continue to build up and strengthen, we call it edify in the church world, but to build up, strengthen, edify the body of Christ. The body of Christ. So for those of you who have some crazy glasses, you might want to go ahead and get those ready. Because I'm going to be saying some things here in the next moment. And here's how it's going to work. That if I say something today that you feel like is just like, that is nuts, right? Like, that is nuts. He clearly fell and hit his head on the way to church. Then it's okay. Just put your glasses on, right? And they'll help you through those moments. They'll help you through those moments. But we're going to practice a little bit with some statements. And these are things that I believe, by the way, but you may or may not agree with them. So, again, just get your crazy glasses. And I'll know when it's a little bit too much to handle is when you put those babies on. So America is without a doubt the number one country to live in. No commies in the room. That's good. Okay. So, this one, PlayStation 3 is clearly better than Xbox. Okay. All right. This was another one. Chevys are better than Fords. Little Ernie. But, get them glasses on. It's all right. Michael Jordan is better than LeBron, Larry, Michael, and Magic. Amen. First time you, hey, Michael Jordan ever got an amen. Summer is better than winter. No, all right. Okay, get some crazy glasses going on. Here's another one. I believe that our church is full of people, incredible people who want to make a big difference in the world around them. Okay, good. I believe that God has called us to reach dozens of people in the surrounding communities. I believe that we will see 500 people come through our Christmas services in 2014. We'll go medium. Two clickers on that one. I believe that 500 people for next Christmas will be a piece of cake, because at that time we will be in regular attendance of 250 people a weekend. And I believe that inside of 5 years that we will have two additional campuses. I believe by that time, within 5 years, that we will have seen 1,000 people make a decision for Jesus through our ministry, through God's grace. By 2018, the bridge will have given away $250,000 to community outreach partners. And by 2020, we will have a campus in downtown Cincinnati. 500 for Christmas, two additional campuses in 5 years, 1,000 people in 5 years, $250,000 by 2018, and by 2020 have a campus in downtown Cincinnati. Can we come back to earth for a second? These are amazing, by the way. This is why you want to marry the right woman, because she'll do this. She'll come home with these bad boys. You don't get that everywhere. So why are you so obsessed with the numbers, Scott? Because a lot of stuff that I said, it sounds like that's an old school big church, big, get lots of people, who has the most members wins. Because I believe that there's Pastor Noble at New Spring Church says it best. So I'll just say what he says. Every number has a name. And every name has a story. Every number has a name, and every name has a story. So if we want to see 500 people for Christmas next year, what does that mean? That means that those will be hundreds of people, because I don't know if any of you guys have, you know, some superior math skills, but there's less than 250 in the room right now. I believe probably, so there's a great crowd, by the way. Y'all look so lovely today. Give yourself a hand. Look, it's so lovely. That's like the worst and the least enthusiastic clap I've ever heard in my life. I'm glad it was for you and not for me, by the way. So that means there'll be hundreds of people who'll be meeting Christ maybe for the first time at our Christmas services. I already said last week that I believe that this Christmas there'll be more people meet Jesus for the first time than there was currently sitting in our church last Sunday. Let me say it again. So, by the way, there's like 20 of you last week. So that's good. Keep coming back. You're raising the ante. Like, what about now, Scott? That's what you're saying. Like, we'll show you. Last week, what I said was, count the number of people in the room. There'll be more people find Jesus this Christmas than there are people in this room right now. How's that even possible? I'm going to talk about that in a second. I know that the numbers I gave, it's like, bless your heart. Wouldn't that be nice? I'm serious about this, though. Like, I'm really serious. I know some of you might be thinking, like, well, there's a better chance that an alien will show up next Christmas than 500 people. And I just got one thing to say about that. Nanu, right? that's a throwback. They're like, that's Spock. No, that's Mork. That's Mork from Mork, right? Yeah, we got it. All right. Takes a second, but we got it. Mork. Robin Williams, Go home and Google it. It's good. So you might want to start bringing your crazy glasses every week to church, because not only will I be saying some crazy things, like continually more crazy, right? Like, who knows where I'm going to end up? But I believe that there'll be some things happen in this church over the next 12 months that you'll have to like wear these, like, you, so you don't faint, right? Like, you'll be like, how is this even possible? How is this even possible? Listen, there's patterns of the impossible being done, starting with the Bible, way even before Jesus, like the crazy stuff, like everybody's like the Moses and the Red Sea, Noah and the Ark, all this, like sun stand still, watching around the wall, walls fall down in Jericho, like all those stories that we know growing up in church. Like, it's like we're good with that. Like, no one goes, well, I don't think that's really happening. Right? But seriously, we have a city called Jericho, right? Okay, so way back, so the Jews were enslaved. The Jews have had a raw deal for a long, long time, by the way. But the Jews were enslaved thousands and thousands of years ago by the Egyptian Empire. They busted loose, crossed over a dry sea, crazy stuff I don't even get into. And they finally, years and years and years later, come across this city that was believed to be like 5 feet thick walls, 5 feet solid stone walls thick, and nearly 20 feet high. That's a big wall. And God's like, just go ahead and just march around that for 7 days and it's all gonna work out. We know that if we read our Bible that the walls came, what? Tumbling down. This little song we used to sing in Sunday school, the walls came tumbling down. We marched around one time, two times, three times, and seven times at the end. Is that any less ridiculous? Or I would think it's probably more ridiculous sounding. If I told you that today, like, here's what's going to happen. We're just going to walk around this church, and then it's going to, like, levitate, right, 6 feet off the ground. You'd be like, that's nuts, right? So I'm taking it easy on you. I don't believe, I mean, even if you want to try it, I mean, I'm good after church. I got nothing better to do, right? We just walk around and see what happens. But when I say 500 people for Christmas next, I don't think that's as crazy as some of the crazy stuff that I've seen in the Bible that I read and believe to be true. I've seen people healed. I've seen people's lives. I mean, it's one thing to get a physical healing, but it's one thing to meet someone and to watch them change supernaturally, spiritually, to like 2 years later, you're like, that seems like a dream that you were even that person. Like, you were even that guy, you were even that woman. Because like everyone like hated you back then because you were terrible, right? And then you met Jesus and all of a sudden, your life's changed. Like, that's a miracle to me. That's a much bigger deal than just a couple hundred people showing up in one place at one time. I'm believing that hundreds of lives are going to be changed through this church in the future. Starting now. Starting right now. Starting months ago. In fact, starting 27 years ago, when my parents came to this godforsaken town, Mount Orb, Ohio, well before Kroger, well before Gold Star, Skyline, McDonald's. Like, I don't even remember, like, was the pizza place in town when we got here? Like, Grandma's? I think Grandma's was here. Yeah, but that's like it. That's like, go to like, Batavia. I remember going to Biggs, you know, going to Biggs or Wallace's. You know, but we'd get up and go to Biggs grocery shopping. I mean, there's just nothing out here. And I don't believe it's coincidence that God sent, and I'm biased because they're my parents, but God sent some amazingly faithful people of God, and Carl and Marcia Trent, to start a foundation because of what God had planned out for the future. I don't think it's a coincidence. I don't think it's a coincidence that we've got a college coming in like a block away. I mean, that's like, if you were rewind the footage to like 20 years ago, and they're like, one day there'll be a college of a block away. We're like, what? Let alone, then there's like one right 8 miles up the street this way. It's crazy. It's crazy. But what I like to do is set back some time and see how it's all coming into place. Well, I like me a little church, Scott. Well, then you'd hate the New Testament. You'd hate Jerusalem circa 33 A.D., you just hate it, right? Because there's thousands of people getting saved on an almost daily basis, right? It was nuts. Look, we want to be a big church with a family mentality. in the sense that we want you to know people and build good relationships, and we don't want you to come in with 1,000 people and be like, I don't even know anyone. We trust me, we've got plans how to fix that. We've got plans how to fix that. We didn't develop them, we're just gonna steal them, okay? But it works, it works. And I'm not just believing God to do miraculous things for this church, but I'm believing God to do miraculous things for your life. I'm believing God for your health and for your finances and for your relationships, for your marriages, for the relationships that you have with your children. Everybody's got at least one family member who's either you're the black sheep or they are, or you think they're the black sheep, but it's really you. You know, we won't get into that. But I'm believing God to repair those situations. I'm believing that boss that is like the world's worst, right? I'm believing that over the course of the next months ahead, that their heart will change towards you and that God will use them to give you increase and to bless you and get that raise that everybody knows you deserve but your boss. The hearts will change. I'm believing that God will give you a heart to not just fight and bicker with your coworkers, but see their hurt behind their actions. To see their hurt behind their actions, and that you might be able to show them a better way and introduce them to someone who'll change their life. Let's look at Ephesians 3:20, it's in the Message version. I know some of this is crazy talk, but I believe this. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. Let's look at that again. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. That's powerful. Some of you have the NIV or the King James, might say God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. Yeah, I believe that. And so I know I'm putting myself out there when I say crazy stuff like that. But I'm okay with that because I don't feel like I'm putting myself out there at all. I feel like I'm just kind of trying to figure out a way to step out on faith, believe God for what he can do. Through the people who love him and the people who are dedicated to carry out this vision together. Let's look at Philippians 3:12-16. And again, I'm going to read it through the Message. I'm going to read it through the Message. Everybody see my, like this bracelet, Jalen made this for me. Hey, there's only room for one of us up here. So we've got this bridge bracelet. Isn't that nice? Black, blue, and white. Jalen made that for me. Somebody say, aw. Okay, thanks. Jeez. What's wrong with you people? She's going to be selling them outside in the hallway for $19.99, so if you love your church, you'll buy one. I'm just joking. Unless you fall for it, then she will. Because Daddy needs some gas money. All right, so let's read Philippians 3. So I'm not saying that I have all this together, that I have it made, but I'm well on my way, reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. Let me just take a time out just for a second. I just love how Paul always does that. Like, you gotta notice that everything Paul says, he ties it back to, I'm doing this because of what Jesus did for me, right? That God only does stuff for me so that I can tell you about it, so that you'll have faith that he'll do it for you too. Like that scripture I think we talked about last week. He's like, he saved me. Like, I'm the worst of sinners. I'm terrible. I'm like the worst of sinners. But if God can save me through his son Jesus, then he can save all of you too. He can save anyone. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused. Somebody say focused. On that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us, if any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Let's see it again. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. We've thrown this number out here a lot at the Bridge in the recent months. And I'll say it again. Some of you may not have heard it. Maybe some of you are new today. But the Census Bureau, you know, they try to track who's there and who's living and how many people's hiding in how many holes in all the counties of the world. And they ask things and take surveys also at times that talk about religious affiliation. Just kind of get a handle on it. And what we found out through getting our hands on those studies, it's all public information, but we got our hands on some of those studies. They're really cool. And what it said was, when it came time to talking about your religious affiliation, that in the 30 to 40 mile radius of where I'm standing right now, there are 100,000 people who self-identify as unchurched, like don't belong to any church in any way, shape, or form. Now, that's a lot of people. 100,000 people within 30 miles. I've seen stats recently in the last couple weeks that say there's over 50,000 unchurched people within a 10-mile radius of Mount Orb. So 50,000 people within 10 miles of Mount Orb are self-identified as unchurched. Now, I think that's probably a conservative number, because I know a lot of people who like wheel in like twice a year for free stuff, and they will say they're church, and I'm like, well, you know, that's up for debate. But anyway, I think that, but if these are people who go, nah, I don't, church, merch, whatever. No, no. And so the idea is that those are not bad people any more than I'm a bad person, or good any more than I'm good. It's just people who, for whatever reason, haven't found themselves a church that they feel comfortable with. And so my deal is, the last thing I want to do is try to like battle someone over church members. Like, I'm not going to like storm the gates of one of the local churches in town and like try to steal people out the back door. Like, that's stupid. It's just stupid. So I'm not going to do that. I try not to do stupid. I mean, I do it sometimes, but not on purpose. So my idea is that, why don't we just talk to those people who haven't made a connection with Jesus yet? Like the 100,000 of them. If you're lazy, you don't want to drive outside of Mount Orb city limits, then we have 50,000, right? Do you think there's more or less people, more or less than 100,000 people who go to church on Sunday in Brown County? A lot less. A lot less. Not even half that, right? Not even half that. So let those churches do exactly what they're doing. We'll like to partner with them where we can. But the idea is there's a lot of people who are far from God, who just need a safe place to go. Most people, like, they've been to church, they've seen what they do, and they're not a big fan. And I understand it. I do. I understand it. So what we want to do at this church is to create an environment that feels safe for those who are trying to figure out what they believe about God and trying to figure out what they believe about Jesus. Because a lot of people who've been to church for a long time, guess what? They're still trying to figure out what they believe about God and believe about Jesus. And it's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine. What I like to get into our vocabulary here at the Bridge is there's a couple things, okay, that you just got to, I mean, our faith is centered on the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins. First of all, he came as a baby. He lived as a human being, right, the whole entire time, no special privileges. But he grew up when he's about 30 years old. He started walking around the countryside, talking about God, talking about the kingdom, picking people that he wanted to train. And he spent 3 years doing that. And around the third year of his ministry, he ended up being crucified. We know that. It's the Easter story. And he was crucified for our sins. And as a demonstration of love by God, to show how much he loved us, that he would let his son die for us, so that we wouldn't have to be punished for our own sinful nature, and that he died. But the coolest thing was that he came back to life, and that meant two things. One thing is that we also will live forever, one way or the other, but also means that everything that he ever said has got to be true. I've said 1,000 times. If you predict your own death and resurrection, and you pull it off, I'm good. Anything you say, I'm all in. All my chips are in. you're my guy. And so everything that Jesus said has to be true if you believe that he came back to life. So that's a non-negotiable, okay? Well, he probably didn't really come back to life, and no. I mean, you could think that, but you're wrong. But, you know, that's the non-negotiable. Everything else is up for grabs, right? Everything else is up for grabs. I mean, you'd be surprised, but let me bring it to reality for a second. I was talking to a guy this week, and struggling with, he's a coworker, and we weren't having Bible study, okay? And he just randomly brought up the fact that he can't wrap his head around the idea that some magic man in the sky loves him. Just because. What you need to understand, those of you who've been in particularly church for a long, long time, is that does sound a little crazy. Okay? Now, I don't think it is. Don't get me wrong. Okay? But I'm saying, like, it's silly for us. And how did churches ever get to the point where they're arguing about dress codes and cigarettes and stupid stuff, okay? I mean, I just don't understand, like, when people who are far from God, like, they're way back here. And we're, like, trying to tell them about pants and long hair and women wearing earrings, and that's old stuff. By the way, we don't believe that crazy stuff. Never really did, but as far as that goes. But that's how churches have behaved, and that's why people don't want to have anything to do with it. But their questions are different than what the answers we're trying to give. Their questions are, why would some magic man in the sky love me just because? Think about that. What would you say? I mean, you could say that. And that's one way to do it. Bad evangelism. But what would you say? Now think about it. I'm not going to ask you to raise hands, but just think rhetorically. Like, I'll just give that question out. But think about that. Like, what would you say if somebody said that to you? Those are the answers that we need to figure out how to communicate. You know, people want to know, like, well, I think Jesus was a good guy and all, but I don't know if he really came back to life. I mean, that's a little much, isn't it? A lot of people outside the church will say things like, Christians worship a magic zombie. They'll call Easter a day for that we worship a magic zombie, which I think is terrible to say. I'll just put that out there. I mean, that's like dangerous. It's hard for me to even say it when I'm repeating someone. But the idea is that people don't get what we get. We have to understand that we have to start figuring out it's our responsibility, not... When I say they, I'm saying people who are unchurched or far from God or you know, at the very, 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 very beginning of their faith journey. It's not their responsibility to catch up with us. It's our responsibility to provide a means of communication to help them exactly where they're at. That's a church that I see. Hundreds of people. I'm seeing tattoos and mohawks and people that smell like beer. I mean, that's what I see. And a pity the fool who chases one of the people off. All right? I'm a nice guy, but that'll get unnice in that kind of circumstance. A 100,000 to 40 miles, 50,000 and 10 miles. How we do this, Scott? Like, how do we... This is nuts. I'm going to get 500 people for Christmas. And it's silly stuff. I get it. All right, let me show you how this is done. All right, I'm gonna solve it today. I just need two volunteers. Dun, dun, dun. Skaggs. Skaggs and Bobby. Now, first thing, I'll just get you to go ahead and take your shirts off. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You see it. So what I want you to do is you stand here, and you stand right here beside him, like that, in that angle, okay? And all I want you to do is, I just want you to tell Aaron what the answer is, okay? That's pretty simple. We just want to tell people about Jesus, I tell people about Jesus. Could I get maybe like two more volunteers? Richard, Shelby. Just stand right beside him. And right beside him. Let's keep it going. And all we need to do is start with one person who will tell another person who will tell another person who will tell another person. So let's try this. All right. So we got a lot of wimpiness going on here. So let's just say it a little bit louder. Let's say it in our outside voice. We can just say Jesus. Okay. Can I just get like two more? Zach, go ahead. I saw you raising your hand over there. Ernie, you want to come help? Ernie. All right. Just go over there. No, that's good. Here, no. Back this back up here. There you go. Keep going. All right. Can I get just like two more? Anybody? Two more? This guy. And this guy. Justin. Is that it? That's good. I had to dig deep. Can I just get like two more? Like anybody, like just like two more? Anybody? Cassie? So if you guys don't volunteer, like these guys will on your behalf. Johnny Cash Sturgill. Is that your name? That's one of the best names. Anybody see that picture of Cash and Billy Graham on Facebook or Instagram? That's amazing, isn't it? I love that picture. Steve Urkel? Just now? That's your friend. All right. Jesus. I love it. Can I just get like two more? Just like two more? This guy. Is that John Mayer? Good grief. It's not the first time? Okay. I love that. Autographs. Mandy, okay. All right. We love it. Jesus. Awesome. Can I get like two more? Just like two. Dale, all right. Over to pews, man. He's going way back. That's old school. Pew jumping. All right, somebody else? Melissa? All right. Mandy almost forgot her line. Did you see that? Isn't that nice? It just takes one person who will tell another person who will tell another person who will tell another person. Just like two more? Just like two more? How about Bud back there? Larry? Alright. Alright, let's soak this in. Awesome. How about like two more? Can I get like two more? And this. So how do we do it? How do we do it? Just one person. Just one somebody tell another somebody who will tell another somebody who will tell another somebody who will tell another somebody. It's Jesus. You think people are more or less receptive to coming to church on Christmas than any other time of the year? More. I mean, it's like easy, right? It's just easy. Like, I think we can blow the doors off this place just this Christmas, let alone next Christmas. You know what I'm saying? Like next Christmas, we're going to have multiple services. But this Christmas, I just like packed out, like holding our little candle, like trying not to set each other on fire. You know what I'm saying? Like, no hairspray. We could, yeah, see, you're thinking outside the box. I love it. We could invite the fire department. Okay. One somebody will tell another somebody who will tell another somebody. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Always, only Jesus. I'm excited, guys. I think here's the reality. If we don't do the 100,000, if we don't make a dent in that, or the 50,000, I mean, if we just make a dent in it, right? Like, if we don't do it, somebody else will. Because, I mean, we got to understand that it's not God's will for people to, like, what else does God have to do, right? You ever, like, been in a relationship with somebody, like, this is not me because I'm fortunate, but maybe you have someone that you've been trying to court or woo, right? Like, set in the parlor. I don't know what that is. Something like old people used to do. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that means. I better stop because I might just, okay. So, but, like, the flowers, the candy, like, you like the old school, like, does anybody ever serenaded a girl, like, outside her window, by the way? Has anybody ever done that for real? I've seen it in movies. I just picture Larry O'Hara doing that. Like, way back in the day, Linda's up in her bedroom, and she hears, what song would you play if that was you? Wendy? Okay. Don't think I'm not going to YouTube that for next Sunday, by the way. That's amazing. But you ever, like, I've been in a position like, well, what else do I have to do to prove, like, that I like you, right? Like, I want to go on a date with you. What else do I have to do here? Like, I'm passing you notes. I'm carrying your books. Like, I think that's God sometimes. Like, what else? I mean, what else can I possibly do? I'm just going to die for you. And if that doesn't do it, like, I don't know what else to do here. I just feel like that's kind of how God is. And he's like, okay, well, I did that. Well, let me just keep giving you good stuff. Just keep giving you good stuff. And I just feel like it's God. You have to understand. You just have to believe it. You know, and as long as you're believing in God and the church and the model and the whole thing, then you don't have an excuse not to believe that God, it's not God's will or his desire. Or he's like sad about the fact that so many people are like, man, I don't want to. Church is kind of, this kind of sucks, you know. It's like, you know, I don't think, like, God doesn't want that. He, like, wants to, let me show you how much, I just want to love you. I just want to love you. So if we don't do this, somebody else will. But I'm like, why not us, right? Like, why not us? We can be heroes. When you just want to be a hero? As you, like, my 4-year-old, right, is Spider-Man. He also has a Transformer outfit and a ninja outfit and a Turtles outfit, right? Like, he gets, like, this morning he woke up wanting to play Iron Man on his Kindle. Like, he's heroed out, right? He's heroed out. And I think everyone wants to grow up to be a hero, don't we? Like, back in the day, like, Batman, Superman, Roy Rogers. Whoever it is, right? This is our chance. Like, well, I'm old. Well, okay, it's all relative, but this is your chance. Like, Roy Rogers didn't pan out. Like, Superman didn't pan out. But we can be heroes, right? We can be heroes. Because what do heroes do? Even Mighty Mouse. I'm like, Mighty Mouse? Come on, give me a break. But even Mighty Mouse, what does he do? He saves the day, man. He saves the day. We can save someone's day. We can save their lives. We can be heroes. Can't you just hear Bowie singing it? We can be heroes just for one day. Sorry. This is our chance. Turn the page in our church. We've had great times, and I'm so thankful for this church. Like, I can't imagine what my life would be like without this place, but we could turn the page and do something. We could do something great. We could do something great that people will be writing books about. Not about any one individual person in this church, but collectively. Like, there was this group of people from Mount Orb, Ohio. Mount Orb, yeah, I'm at that Mount Orb, who change the landscape of the community and the surrounding communities forever. They gave so much to help people in need and to do vocational training and to help single moms and to help people break addictions. Like, they gave so much. They went without themselves to give to help those people. They sacrificed, they volunteered, they built campuses. Those people at the bridge. I'm just asking that you roll up your sleeves with us. And some of you are already like, you're like neck deep already. You know, you're volunteering, you're giving, you're all in. I'm just asking you to get a little deeper. I'm going to do the same. Give a little bit more. Do a little bit more until it hurts. And I'm asking if you're kind of on the outside looking in, there's opportunities to get involved here. And there's going to be more and more and more and more opportunities. And the idea is that we don't want to wait for one day when those cars are all lined up. We're like, uh-oh, now what? Like, we want to get things ready for the people who are coming. Because people will come, right? Like James Earl Jones says. It'll be as if they dipped themselves in magic waters. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Now remember a time in their past as children. They'll be innocent as children. Isn't that like, Jesus, I want you to come to me like a child. Just trust me. It's all, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to be your dad. I'm going to be your daddy. I'm going to take care of you. I just want you to roll your sleeves up on our journey starting today and join a movement that started 2,000 years ago with a bunch of rednecks, whores, and swindlers that met Jesus in a little part of the world. The whole entire country of Israel is about the size of New Jersey. Isn't that nuts? 2,000 years later, I'm standing here 6,000 miles away telling you about Jesus and those knuckleheads that gave everything. I just want to say it's our turn. It's our turn. I want to ask two things this morning. I'm going to wrap it up right now. I'm going to ask God for two things. I'm going to ask you first. I'm going to ask you to start talking to God. Start talking to God about stepping up your expectations. Like, I'm all in with the crazy glasses, and I get it. I mean, even stuff that comes out of my own mouth, I'm like, did you just say that, right? I'm with you. I get it. But the idea would be that ask God to just step up your expectations to the point where you hear this stuff and you're like, why not, man? Like, why not? Let's do this. Let's do it. You start believing God for crazy things, for this church, for this community, and in your own lives. I can't see myself ever speaking to this person again. Just believe it. Somehow God will build a bridge for reconciliation in all areas of your life. I'm going to ask that of you, that you ask God to step up, help you step up your expectations. And the other thing I'm going to ask God for you is that he give you the confidence and the courage to talk crazy things and to start to say them out loud. Not to get too spooky, but I do believe it's something powerful about speaking things out loud, and those words are heavy. And instead of saying things like, I'm no good, and I can't get this, and I'll never have that, and I'll never do this, but to start to say things like, God, this is my heart's desire, and I believe you love me enough that you'll help make it come to pass. I'm asking God to give you the courage and the confidence to start saying silly things. if you would, we'll just ask everyone to kind of bow your head, close your eyes, just for some privacy today. And let's ask a couple questions. And what we do here, we ask questions and sometimes just raise your hand. That's really just, it's good for you to have some awareness about where you're at. No one's like watching you. We're not like getting on camera. We're not going to tell anybody. It's just really between you and God, and I'll pray for you. But it's our deal. It's our deal. But maybe you're here this morning and you realize, like, man, I'm just hearing this stuff, and I'm like, I just really believe I've really settled for a lot in my life. Like, I've just settled. Like, I used to believe God for, like, big stuff. I used to believe that He could do so these great things in my life and in my family's life. And man, I just realized I've just settled for a lot, settled for things that I'm better than. And it's not about a pride thing. It's just that God wants to love you and to give you the desires of your heart. And if you allow Him to, I believe that those days can still come. But if that's you this morning, you're like, I just want to start believing God again for the things that I used to dream about in years gone by. And I want to start trusting Him again for the things that I believe could happen in my life and in my family. Just raise your hand, put it back down. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? Yep. Doesn't make sense. If I said these things out loud, people would probably laugh at me. That's why we need God in this. We can't do it on our own. Anybody else? Yeah, a lot of hands up. That's good. I'm gonna start dreaming again and believing God wants to do big things for me and through me. And the other thing I would just want to ask before you wrap up is, maybe you're like at the very, very beginning of your faith journey, and you think we're all nuts. That's okay. We probably are a little bit. It's all good. But maybe you're here today and you're like, you know what? I've been around church. I've been around people talking about God and Jesus for a long time, and I think I'm ready to take that next step. Like, I don't know if I go with that, like, 500 people next year. I don't know if I'm going for that. But I think what I am in for is allowing God to take a bigger part in my life. And I'm willing to and ready to trust Jesus with my eternity. Because I got to decide this morning whether Jesus is real and He died and He came back to life, or all like, in here drinking the Kool-Aid over some magic zombie that doesn't exist. I hope you choose A. I hope you believe it's A. It's the real deal. Maybe you just need to formally say that this morning for the first time. I want to trust Jesus. I believe in Him. The whole death, burial, resurrection. I think I can believe that. Maybe for the first time I'm ready to say it. If that's you, I don't know if that's anybody in the room, but if it is, let's make space for that. Just raise your hand and put it back down. We're going to say a prayer at the end of service. Give you the opportunity to say, you know what? Yeah. I don't even know where this is going to take me, but I'm ready to start my journey with Jesus today. Anybody in the room? It's a big deal. Yeah. Anybody else? I'm ready to trust Jesus. Anybody else? Yeah. All right. Anybody else? This is going to be a day you remember forever. Anyone else before we pray? Let's pray right now. You just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I believe in You. I believe in Your Son, Jesus. I believe He died for me, came back to life for me, has given me forgiveness for everything I've ever done and ever will do. I accept forgiveness. I accept love. And I can't wait start my journey with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we get a little nuts in here? Would that be all right? One person who will tell another person, who will tell another person. Jesus. That's all it takes. Easy. We got this? I'm going to pray over you and we'll kick you out, all right? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. What an incredible God you are. What an incredible people you've blessed us with. What an incredible church family. We're just lucky. I mean, it's ridiculous how good you're being to us in these moments. We know that these numbers, I mean, it's just might as well, it could be 10,000 people. We're just looking for something big. Help us see what we can't see and hear what we can't hear and believe for what we don't have the faith to believe just yet. But we know you're stretching us and you're carrying us and you're always with us. And we're believing that in this church, and particularly in this series, as we go forward, we're talking about the vision that we have for not only the church, but going forward, talking about the vision that you want to give us for our families and for our careers and for our friendships and relationships and for all areas of our life. And we know that you can do anything way more than our wildest dreams or our imaginations. Father, you're amazing and we love you. In Jesus' name. Come back next week.